Our Father and our God, we thank you for your mercy unto us. We give you the praise for causing your face to shine upon us. And we thank you for your saving health that is upon your people. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And this morning, Lord, we come before you again, once again, knowing that the entrance of your word gives light. May that light break forth upon our hearts this morning, dispelling all shades of darkness and bringing glory to your name and edification to the body of Christ. Glorify thyself, O Lord, and let the people go home once again, fulfilled by you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm sure we can do better than that. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, this morning, the election of grace. The election of grace. Now, I've got some scriptures. I'm not going to preach very long, but I've got some scriptures that I want to share with us. And I'm going to start here at Romans chapter 16. Unusual scripture for this, but there's other scriptures that I'm going to read. But I'm going to start at Romans chapter 16 this morning, and I'm preaching on the election of grace. Election of grace. Now, Romans 16, and I'm going to start at verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. And everybody says,
amen.
Now, the secret that was kept since the world began, we're going to talk about some of that this morning, and we're going to bring it in the form of showing, you know, how great his mercy has been to us by the election of grace. Now, so I wanted to read that just so you know that, you know, there was a great mystery that the Lord has kept secret before the world began, but it's now being revealed to us and so forth like that, you know, and before the end of this, we'll find out what that was all about. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 9, and my text for this message is coming from Romans chapter 9, and I'm going to start at verse 6. Now, I have a few verses, quite a few to read from this chapter, so I'm going to try to get through it quickly because I don't want to hold you too long. Romans chapter 9 and verse 6, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Now, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac. Now, that's the word of promise. Now, it's not just because, you know, they were natural children. No. But in Isaac, see, and the Lord, he came through that seed and said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, there is a calling to that seed. That's what we're talking about this morning. That seed, there is a calling to them. Now, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. See, so there was Hagar, you know, on the one side, and Ishmael and so forth like that. And then, of course, there was Sarah and the child of promise, you know. But I won't get too much into that this morning because we got a lot of scriptures to go through. Now, the children of the flesh are not the children of God. Now, take notice of that. You know, I mean, let me bring it to our day and say, well, the children of the flesh. Now, suppose your parents are believers and so forth. Does that make you a believer? Of course not. God has no grandchildren. Everybody has to have a personal relationship with the Lord. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
That's right. There is no grandchildren. There is no place in the Bible that we are told that God has any grandchildren. So, it is not a relationship that transfers through your parents or whatever, you know, it's one-on-one directly to God. So it is not the children of, you know, the flesh that are children, but it's the children of promise. And we're going to be talking about that this morning, that are counted for the seed. Yeah, praise God. Now, this is the word of promise. And I'm praying, you know, and we've been doing this series, you know, about getting into His glory, and you don't want to miss next week, God willing. A vital part of this series will be concluded next week, and you don't want to miss that. But the word of promise came and said, Sarah shall have a son, and he says, you know, and not only this, when Rebekah had conceived. Now, here is the place I'm going this morning. So, you know, stay with me. Now, when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac. Now, the children that were in the womb, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now, take notice of that. Now, she had twins in her stomach. See? And these children had not yet been born. So you couldn't say it was because of what they did. See? They hadn't done anything. That's what the Bible is saying. The children neither being, not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. They were still in the womb, but that the purpose of God, and that's what I'm talking about today, the purpose of God according to election might stand. Oh my. I'm praying that the Lord will give you an understanding this morning. The purpose of God according to election, not of works, but of him that calleth. And he is calling that seed. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to the woman that had the twins in her stomach, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, they hadn't done anything. See? But the Lord, he spoke that. See, because the Lord, he knows everything in advance. See, and if he didn't know anything in advance, then he would cease to be God. The day that God will learn any new thing, that's the day that he would become like you and me. He cannot know anything new. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? He's already known everything that there is to know, and if there is anything that isn't to know, he already knows it too, because he is the Lord. I mean, that's how great he is. We can't just put an end to the Lord of his greatness. Now, as it is written, Jacob have I loved. See, they haven't done anything. Their names were Jacob and Esau. And he said, the elder, which is Esau, will serve the younger, which is Jacob. And he turned around and said, Jacob have loved and Esau have I hated. And then you say, well, is there unrighteousness with God? See, the Lord, he read your mind that you're going to say that. So he put it right there in the next verse. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. See, but here's where we're going with this. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, aren't you glad that the Lord had mercy on you this morning? Oh, yes. And he said that, you know, he's going to have mercy on whomsoever he will have mercy. That's his prerogative. See? And he will have compassion on whomsoever he will have compassion. And so, now, listen to verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, neither yet of him that runneth, but of the Lord that showeth mercy. How many of you like the sound of that? Well, you say, you know, well, I've done all these things for God. Well, that's great. You know, and that's wonderful too. You know, but it is still of God that shows mercy. Praise God. And we're going to tell you something that he did with one man called Pharaoh in the Bible. In fact, the Bible said that God hardened his heart. See, because there was a purpose. Now, last week we heard some part of the message last week talked about God's complete picture, you know, a higher purpose. Now, God had a purpose, you know, in hardening the heart of Pharaoh. Now, it looked like, you know, I mean, God, you know, God was telling him, let my people go, and God was hardening his heart at the same time because he wanted to show and bring glory to his name. He wanted to make a name for himself among the heathen. How many of you say praise the Lord? And sure he did. He made a name for himself, and he hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and you can read it in verse 17. The scripture says that even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, he said unto Pharaoh. See, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth. So he hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, I made him do all those things so that God might show his great power. Therefore, verse 18, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whomsoever he will, he hardeneth. And then you say, well, God is the one that had mercy, and God is the one that hardeneth. Why is he yet finding fault? See? And then he goes on to say, well, who art thou, O man? Verse 20. that replieth against the Lord? Shall the saying that is formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? See, the clay cannot say to the potter, you know, why are you making molding it this way? You know, the Lord is the creator. And he can do, and we read, and I had that verse right here that the brother read. I didn't tell him to read that scripture, he read it of his own. But I had it right here, Daniel chapter 4, where he said, no man can stay his hand. And no man can say to him, what doest thou? See, no man can, you know, has even been his instructor or tell him what to do. I'm going to read some of those verses in a minute. You know, so we see here that the Lord is doing all of these things. He's choosing who he wills. He's calling the seed, hardening who he wills. Now, but don't, if you leave now and you don't hear the rest of the message, you probably won't know where this is going. So you stay with the message. Now, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Romans 11 and verse 33. Now, oh, the death. Now, this is, you know, those of you that have received this mercy, this is what you should say this morning. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I mean, that's how great he is. Verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? You know, who has been counselor of the Lord? You know, the same thing the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and chapter 40 and verse 9. Say, who has been the direct, you know, counselor of the Lord that should direct the Lord and then do all of these things? You know, who has been his counselor? Who, you know, who is directing the Lord? And who gave to him first that he should be recompensed unto him? For of him and through him. And to him are all things. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Unto him and through him are everything. It's unto the Lord. Now, you'll understand this as we go deeper into this message. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Let me quickly read that now. Isaiah chapter 40. And let me read at from verse 9. Isaiah 40 and verse 9. And it says, you know, talking about, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up. See? To the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, and lift up thy voice and lift it up, you know, and say, don't be afraid. Say to thy, you know, the people of God, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And he goes on and says, you know, he shall feed, you know, his flock like a shepherd. Now, Jesus will refer to that, you know, in John chapter 10, that I am the good shepherd. That's a prophecy, and he, you know, it was fulfilled in Jesus. And so forth like that. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and so forth. Now, who hath measured, verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heaven, you know, with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth and in measure. I mean, he, you know, it's like all of these things are nothing to him. You know, the galaxies and the super, you know, super galaxies and all of these things that he have out there, they are just a dust to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And he, you know, and so forth, and all the mountains and all the scales and hills, you know, they are nothing to him at all. He's put them down in a balance. I said, but who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? You know, being his counselor has taught him, you know, the Lord, you know, he doesn't take advice or instruction from any man. Praise the Lord. You know, one time Job, he found that out, you know, because, you know, he began to question God, and after all of those things, and the Lord said, is that a fact? He said, well, you know, if you think that you know the answers, tell me, you know, upon what do I hang the earth? Where were you when I laid those foundations? Where were you when all of these things happened and so forth? Can you bring forth the Orion and his sons? And he began to tell him, can you bind the influences of the Pleiades? And all these things. And he began to challenge him. And finally he said, my. You know, it's like he said, I put my foot in my mouth. You know, so he quickly knew that you cannot. He said, shall a man contend with his maker? You know, no. You know, he can't do it. So he found that out. You cannot do that. You know, so. And Nebuchadnezzar, he found out to the glory of God that the Lord reigns in all things, and that no man can stay his hand. That's in Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 through 35. And no man can say to him, what doest thou? Now, where are we going with all of these things now? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I preached on this message from this verse once before, from verse 19. I preached on this message before when I preached on the great seal, a two-part covenant. That was months ago. You know, I preached on that, you know, the part that the Lord has and the part that the people have. You know, the Lord, you know, it says, the foundation of God, 2 Timothy 2 and 19, standeth sure, having this seal. It's a two-part seal. The Lord knows them that are his. Now, that's the part that we're talking about this morning. You know, he knows from the beginning and so forth. You know, but there's another part we're going to talk about in a few minutes. He said, but let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord. See, now that's your responsibility. See, now let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You know, some people say, you know, because of lack of understanding, and we're going to bring it the way it is in the Word of God this morning. Some people, because of lack of understanding, say, well, whoever's going to be saved is going to be saved. And who's not going to be saved is not going to be saved. That's not what we're talking about. And you're going to find out what that all means. Now, look at it this way. You know, God, he has given the invitation to everybody. See? And you know, if you look at this door right here that has a sign on it, it's like, you know, that's the way it is. The invitation is on the side of the door that you are looking at. Right? And he says, whosoever will, let him come through this door. Hallelujah. Now, that's what the invitation says. But when you get through that door, on the other side of the door, when you look back, the inscription on the door says, you have been chosen. I mean, we say praise the Lord. See, when you're out here, you don't know, you know, because he gives the invitation to everybody. You know, and so you've got to go through that door. See, but, you know, he gives the invitation, but you see, you know, we're going to find out that nobody can get through that door anyhow, unless the Father draws him. So you can't do it, you know. But you say, what does that all that mean? Well, when you get through that door, though, you find out that it is the grace of God. And because it's his grace, you cannot boast. But you must reverence him. And you must cast all your crowns and all your achievements and everything, you know, before the Lord. Now, in a great house, 2 Timothy 2:20, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but there is of wood, there's some to honor and dishonor. You know, when you put a great house together, I said, look, there's all kinds of things in there. It's kind of like, you know, it's like kind of like the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus gave a parable as if the kingdom of God is like a net that somebody cast in and caught all kinds of fish and, you know, began to separate and so forth like that. You know, so in the kingdom of God, in a great house, there is all kinds of things. There's the good and the bad and the ugly, whatever you want to call it. You know, the silver, the gold, some to honor, some to dishonor and so forth. But, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself, see, from being of dishonor and from being of all of the evil things and so forth, then he shall become a vessel of honor. And he'll be sanctified, and he will be ready for the master's use. Now, our job is to get ourselves ready. His job is to do the choosing. How many of you say amen to that? Yeah. Oh yes, but you've got to get yourself ready. See, because one time when he invited them all, and even brought them in and so forth like that, finally he found one that didn't have the right garment in there, in the wedding, the parable of the wedding, and he said, throw him out of there, because he doesn't have the right garment. You know, so you must prepare your heart and you must get your life in order and get yourself ready to be used by the master, to be prepared unto every good work. Now, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Lord tells us, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you. That's right, that you should go forth and be my disciples and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, it's the Lord that does the choosing. You know, you say, it is the Lord that does the choosing? Yes. Listen to what he says in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you want to turn with me. And I'm going to start at verse 44, but then I'll go backwards in that chapter and read a couple of earlier verses. But let me start at John 6 and verse 44. Here's what he says. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Amen? Well, he got awfully silent in here. No man can come unto God, unto Jesus, except the Father draw him. Jesus said, this is right, his word right there. See, but when you come, I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. That's right. and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 37. All that the Father has given to me. See, first of all, he said, you cannot come except the Father draws you. But he's saying that when you do come, see, all that the Father has given me shall come. They will come too. And when they do come, he said, you know, I will in no wise cast any one of them out. Or he will lose none of them. And listen to what he said. For I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Now, if you're wondering, am I going to make it? Well, are you a child of God? Jesus put it right blank here. Of all that the Father has given me, I will lose nothing. And I will raise them up at the last day. Oh my, that feels good. You know, I will lose none of them. I don't care what you look like right now. You are coming into the image of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now, the Lord should get a hand clap for that. I think he deserves that. Amen. That's right. Oh yes, I will lose nothing on the last day. See, I will raise him up. He said, this is the will of him that has sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. He keeps saying that. I will raise him up at the last day. Oh my. Praise God. Now that is the assurance, you know, that we have. You know, I will lose none, but I will raise him up at the last day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's see what it is that God ordained for us from the beginning. What is this election that we're talking about? What is it that God is calling the seed to be? You know, because he said, in Isaac shall that seed be called. What is this calling? What is it all about? You know, let's look at it this today from the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Now remember, the opening verse that I read in Romans chapter 16 talked about the mystery that was hidden since the world began, that is now being revealed. Now let's take a look at that mystery, some part of that mystery at least. Let's take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, how many of you understand that? The Lord has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Even the devil didn't understand it. Because the Lamb was slain before the world began. And he saw it there, but he didn't know what it was all about. See, the Lord has chosen us in him before the world began. Before the foundation of the world. And what is the choice that he made for us? What is it that he predestined us to become? That we should be holy and without blame before him in law. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. You know, we are going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the thing that he predestined in his mind from the beginning. Now, if you want to hear more about it, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And let me read to you in verse 29. I'll start at 28, because everybody loves verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know? But who are they? It is to those who are they called. We're talking about in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Those who are the called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? You know, for whom he did foreknow. See, he already foreknew everything. He foreknew everything. He foreknew Esau and Jacob. He knew which way they would go. And so forth. And he foreknew every one of you that are sitting in here today. He knows everything way in advance. And that's the reason that you are here today, because the Lord, you know, his grace was made manifest in your life. But who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now, first he foreknew it. Then he made sure that they are going to get there. You know, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. See, he's already put it down. Even the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed when it is written. This law that God has written, You know, that he spoke, it was in his mind, and he put it forth, that they are going to be in the image of his son. They are going to be like that. I don't care whether the devil fights it. I don't care what it looks like now and so forth like that. They are going to be in the image of his son. That he, Jesus, might be the firstborn. See, God doesn't want only one son. He wants a lot of them. See, but Jesus was only the prototype. He was only the blueprint, if you want to put it that way. But he's going to have many brethren. How many of you say praise the Lord? That's right. Even Jesus himself said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. John 12 and 24. He abides alone. See, but if he dies, then he's going to bring forth many other, you know, seeds just like himself. So God has predestined us from the beginning that we are going to become in the image. We're going to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, because he foresaw them, he foreknew them, he predestinated them, they are going to be like the Christ. And when he predestinated, they are going to be, now he began to call every one of them. Because he said, nobody can come unto me except the Father draws him. You know, you cannot do it. You know, and so, but God knows all of those things in his mind. And then he begins to call the ones. And when he called them, he also justified them. And those that he justified, he also glorified. Oh my. Say glorified. Yes, sir. And don't miss next week. You might hear more about that. You know, he also glorified them. You know, now, he judged in his mind, concluded everybody under sin, so that he might have mercy upon all. And he did it, and nobody can tell him, what is it that you're doing? See, but he'll do it, you know, and he'll bring forth the children of God in the image of Christ. Now you say, he's going to bring forth the children of God in the image of Christ? Absolutely. That is what this is all about. See? And, you know, from the beginning, it was in his mind. You know, and let's see what they are going to look like finally when he brings them into the fullness of that grace. 1 John chapter 3. This is the epistle of John, 1 John and chapter 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. See, Jesus himself said, you know, if the world has hated me, they will hate you too. You know, now some people want to be loved by the world and everything like that. Well, you know, that's your problem right there. Because Jesus said, if they have done this in a green tree, what are they going to do in a dry? See, no person is greater than his master, he told us. You know, so, you know, he said the world, you know, if Jesus said, look, if they have loved me, they will love you. If they hate me, they are going to hate you too. And that's the way it is. You know, but he said, beloved, now are we, right now. See? And even in the mind of God, before the world began, we already were the sons of God. You know, if you can believe this message. You see? Now are we the sons of God. Even though it does not yet appear, see, you can look right now and say, well, you know, they don't look anything like the Christ. You know, they've still got all of these problems and these issues and so forth like that. But in the mind of God, from the beginning, you see, the secret was held in his mind, and he's bringing it forth, you know, that we are coming into that image. How many of you say praise the Lord? That's right. And even though it does not yet appear what we shall be, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Oh my. I mean, that alone ought to put joy in your hearts. You see, you're going to be like him. See, he doesn't separate himself from the people and so forth like that. He doesn't put himself on some kind of a thing and distinguish. No, you're going to be just like him. You know, even when Jesus was upon the earth, have you ever thought of that? When Judas was going to betray him and so forth like that. See, they didn't even know, you know, the people wouldn't even recognize, but Jesus was dressed just the same like them. You know, they had to tell Judas to say, because they said, well, how are we going to know who he is? You know, he didn't even stand out in the crowd. He was just like his disciples. They look just the same. And he said, Judas said, well, you know, whoever I kiss on the cheek and so forth like that. You know, so even at the end, finally, we will be just like him.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh, wow. You know, and when the Holy Spirit, you know, when he waves that trophy before the Lord, the Bible said that he might present to himself in Ephesians. Oh my. A glorious church. that has no wrinkle and no blemish. Now notice, it is the Lord that's presenting, not any man that's presenting, not any angel or anybody. They can't do it. See, the Lord is going to present to himself. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, so, even though it doesn't appear right now what we, you know, shall be, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. But notice verse 3. He says, and every man, or woman, or child, or boy, or anybody, that has this hope of being like the Lord in him, you better purify yourself. You know, that's the scripture we read in 2 Timothy 2. It says, it's a two-part seal. The Lord knows them that are his, but let them that name the name of the Lord, let them do these things. Let them present themselves a reasonable sacrifice. Let them purge themselves from all of these things. Let them be holy before the Lord. Now, he says, purify himself, even as he is pure, and so forth like that. Oh, my. You say, the Lord wants me to be pure. Well, we've already preached several messages about that, on how to go on to perfection and how to be perfect like the Lord. You know, yes, the Lord, he does want us to be pure. And he wants us pure, you know, and he will do it too. Because he is the one that called us from the beginning, and he is the one that is also going to do it. John chapter 10. Now, this is the prophecy that we read in Isaiah 40 about the Lord, where he said, he shall feed them like a shepherd and so forth. And Jesus fulfilled that prophecy, and he said of himself, I am the good shepherd. He said it right here. In John chapter 10, he said, verily, verily, verse 1, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door unto the sheepfold, or climbeth in some other way, he is a thief and a robber and so forth like that. So he began to tell them, he said, look, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, see the door. Remember, we said on the door, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's an invitation on the door. See? But he is the Lord that is behind, even drawing the people that are going to come into that door. See, we can't leave that out. That's the way the scripture puts it. You know. But he said, everyone that enters in shall be saved. He shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. Now, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. So he fulfilled that prophecy. So he shall feed his people like shepherd, like a flock and so forth. He fulfilled that prophecy. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, and he begins to tell them all the things that, you know, the shepherd, you know, the characteristics of the shepherd and so forth like that. You know, but let me go back to verse 5. He says, a stranger they will not follow. He said, his sheep will not follow a stranger? No. Here's what he says. Verse 4, let me read from verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he's talking about the shepherd and the relationship he has with his sheep, he goes before them and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, that's very comforting. See, they know the voice of the Lord. Now, many months ago we preached on many kinds of voices and so forth, but there is a voice of the Lord. Now, these sheep, they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, because they know not the voice of strangers. Oh my, isn't that comforting? You know, the Lord has his hand on your life. You know, there is no way that you are going to go astray. You know, if you believe the Lord and love him with all of your heart. You know, and if you say, well, that means I can do anything I want then and do well, that means his seed is not in you. See? Because he that is born of God does not commit sin. Because his seed remaineth in him. See? Now, if this kind of message prompts you to say, well, that means I can do anything I want and just to get away with it, then this message doesn't belong to you. But if this kind of message makes you fall on your face and say, Lord, oh, I thank you for your mercy, that in spite of all that I've done against the gospel and everything, he still chose me. Oh, my. Praise God. You know, some of you and so forth, and some of us, and even Paul, you know, all the things he did, Saul, when his name was Saul, he took out a contract against the Christians and all these things and so forth like that. But look at the mercy of God in his life. And Paul finally said, he said, I did all those things in ignorance, in unbelief. But when the grace of God was revealed in me, when the fullness of time came, the grace of God came in my life, and I will not frustrate the grace of God. Now, how many of you can say like Paul today, I will not frustrate the grace of God? Now, God has gone out on a limb if I can use that word. He already knows everything, you know, but let me just say it that way. God has gone out on a limb to choose you. See? You know, and it's a high stakes game. See? And he has chosen you, and he said, they will be like the Christ. And the devil said, not if I can say something about that, I have something to do with that. And the Lord said, well, you go right ahead. See? And one day, you know, I will expand on this message, because the Lord gave me a message, I've been wanting to preach it, and you know, he won't let me do it yet. But one day I will expand on it. But in any case, he told the Lord, you know, because he fell from grace. And the Lord, you know, he has predestined a group of people that will take his place and even be hired. But he didn't want any part of that, and he's not going to let it happen if he has something to do about it. You know, so he comes up against the first seed that he sees in there. And he said, well, if I can make him to break God's word, I can make him lose that glory. And he did. See? But and so he said, well, you know, I told you. See? And the Lord said, no, I told you so. Because the lamb was slain before the war began. That means the Lord already knew about all of that. See, if he didn't know about all of that, why would the lamb be slain even before the war began? So and finally, all through the ages, the devil has had this contest that they are not going to come forth in the image of Christ. And even when the woman was about to bring forth that child in Revelation 12 and verse 5, the devil stood there to consume the child even as soon as he was born. But I guarantee you, they will come forth in the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, it is happening now. I mean, we can say amen. Praise the Lord. Now that's why all of these messages about entering into his glory, about cleansing ourselves, about setting our house in order, and so forth like that. Because the Lord is going to break forth upon his people. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, he's cleansing us. You know, he's getting us ready, and so forth like that. You know, and boy, I tell you what. The scripture says, even those of us who are in this flesh, we are groaning. Not because we want to be unclothed, but we are waiting for the glory. Oh my. We are waiting to be clothed with the glory. The house that shall come from heaven. I can't go into that this morning. But for every one of you that is here, that God has given the opportunity to be called a son of God, you ought to rejoice and you ought to shout the victory. And I tell you what, if you are here this morning, you know, and you say, well, I don't know if I've been chosen. Well, you have been chosen to hear this message. That's why you are here this morning. You see, and I'm going to tell you this. If you are here this morning and you haven't given your life to the Lord, if you leave today, walk out that door, and you don't give your life to the Lord, it may be your last chance. You may never get another chance. God may fix it just like that. Remember, he said, the time is coming when he that is holy shall be holy still, and he that is unrighteous shall be unrighteous. He'll fix it. So you better give your life to the Lord right now. You say, wow, give my life to the Lord. Yes. And it's not, the commandments of God are not grievous. In fact, taste and see that the Lord is good this morning. If you want to come to the Lord this morning, you know, the cross is wide open. There's always room for somebody else. And there's room for you this morning. But if you have loved the Lord with your heart this morning, if you have believed the Lord, I want you to know that he promised that we will lose. He said, I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. And no matter the struggles that you have in your life of faith and whatever, we are told in 1 Corinthians, we are told in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. If you want to turn with me to it as I begin to wrap this message up. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. As long as they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He knows what he's doing. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, people look at others and say, well, you know, nah, they don't qualify. Well, thank God that he didn't give it into your hands to give the grade. Amen. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, he said there was no man found that was worthy to open the book. Nobody else but Jesus. And he is the one that put his life down. Said, no man takes it from me. I lay it down. This commandment I have received of my Father. I not only lay it down, but I receive it again. And as I live together with my dead body, you shall live also. Oh, you know, dead body. No, he's no longer in the grave. You know, when he arises, see, he arose on that resurrection morning. They are blasted out of that grave. And my. The heavens declare his glory even till this day. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Yes, the Lord is no longer in the grave. He arose, and so we are going up with him also. And he's changing us from that glory to glory every day. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you can give the Lord a hand clap for his mercy? Yes, the Bible says that John wept much because there was no man found worthy to open the book. The only person that could do it was the Lord Jesus himself. And aren't you so glad today that the Lord is the one with whom we have to do? If the Lord left it up to anybody here, many of us would not make it. Because the people have their own way of judging the people and so forth like that. But the Lord is the one that showeth mercy. Amen. Praise God. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion. And you cannot tell the Lord. Now Jonah, one time, he didn't want God to have mercy on the people in Nineveh. You know, and he said, well, those people are a bunch of sinners. And if I preach to them, I know the Lord will be merciful and he will forgive them. So he didn't want to preach to them so that they wouldn't be saved. Can you imagine that? You know, but Jonah found out that you are going to do what the Lord wants you to do. No matter what. So you better do it the first time anyhow. You cannot get away from the Lord. Now there are some of you here today that have been, you know, just not yielding to the Spirit of God. Let me give you this news flash today. As many of you as are called by his name, the Holy Ghost is going to arrest you. That you cannot get away from his presence. So you might as well just submit. See, because if you don't, you might end up in the belly of the whale and do all of these things and so forth like Jonah. But you are coming back to do his will anyhow. How many of you say praise the Lord? So why don't you just do it already, you know, and let him have the glory. You know, all of us that the Lord has called, we are going to be in his image. So you might as well cooperate with the Lord and be walking with him. Otherwise, you know, he'll put you through the fire and all the tests and all of these kinds of things. But you are coming through anyhow. See, because I will lose none of them. He promised that. Now, he said, some people go through tribulation or whatever. I will still lose none of them. He knows what he's doing. How many of you say praise the Lord? Sure. That's right. You think the devil has more people than the Lord? He never did and he never will. Even he couldn't get more than a third of the angels. God always has a majority. And in Revelation chapter 7, he said there was a sea of multitude that nobody could number. Even though they came out of great tribulation. Well, I don't want to be in that great tribulation. Do you? No. Oh, no. You know, but nevertheless, he has a way that he will gain all of them and he will lose none. But for those that yield to the Spirit, they become the first fruits as he's molding them. And in them will be formed the image of the Christ first. And they go up. And they be with him. How many of you say praise in the name of the Lord? Now let's raise up our hands this morning. If the Lord, if you have received that grace and that mercy in your life, why don't you just give him some praise up in here this morning? If the Lord chose you, he chose you. Amen. Oh yes, you know the Lord, he could have wiped off the whole creation when Adam fell by grace. He could have done it. And just created a bunch of new people that would obey him anyhow. But he didn't do it. He chose to redeem us instead. Oh, and I look back in my life and I say, God, why me? And the Lord said, well, I am he that chose you. You didn't choose me. Praise God. You know, sometimes we think we did it. No, you didn't. You know, for by grace are you saved. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Lest any man should boast. And when you get before the Lord, you will never be able to boast. Because all they do there is cast down their crowns. And all their achievements, they cast it down. Because it is the Lord that showeth mercy. It's not of him that runneth or of him that willeth. Now sometimes, you know, sometimes some people seemingly do, some things more for the Lord than others. And so forth. And you might, in your mind, you might think, well, I'm doing more. No, you are not. It is the Lord that worketh in you, both to will and even to perform of his good pleasure. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope everybody understands that there is nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, unless you want to be cast out as a dry branch. He said, because if you don't abide in me, you're going to be cast out. But if you abide in me, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Now let's praise him one more time. Let's praise him all over this place. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. Oh yes. Because he chose us. Oh my. And you say, the devil, he looked at them and said, well, you know, these people, they can't do it. And the Lord said, will you wait and see? They will do it too. They are going to be in the image of the Christ. And at the end of the age, finally, us. Hallelujah. And we have a big advantage. See, over all of the prophets, and all them and apostles, and all those people, you know, and all those people that, all those things they did in faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we have an advantage over them. Even this day. You say you have an advantage? Absolutely. Because we are the ones upon whom the end of the world has come. Oh yes. Praise God. And I'm praying with all of my heart. Lord, don't pass me by. You know, and God, you know, he'll move on. You know, if the people don't respond, you know, he'll just move on. Remember, the same God that brought them out from Egypt finally destroyed all those that did not believe in the wilderness. So let us believe the Lord with all of our heart this morning. And let us call upon his name in truth, rejoicing in his grace and his salvation. Now, if you are here this morning and you have not experienced this grace, you say, well, you know, I don't know what they're talking about. It's very simple. The Lord Jesus, he is the salvation for man. Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. Neither is there any other name, and verse 12, given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. So the Lord made it very simple, one name, and that's Jesus. Now, if you want that name, see, you know, we want you to take a step of faith this morning. You see, you say, well, I'm not even sure. Well, you can be sure this morning. You know, we never want to close any service without giving anybody that is new or hasn't received the Lord or so forth like that, you know, a chance, or somebody who's backsliding. See, because the Bible says I'm married to the backslider. You know, give a chance to come back to God. So I'm going to give you a chance now. You know, you want to make the Lord, and you want to choose him as your chief joy because he chose you first. See, I want you to come up down the aisle and stand in front of everybody and give a witness. Because the Bible says, hey, you know, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and his angels. But if you deny me or you look around and say, what will people say? Well, they say, well, you know, I'll deny you also. That's what the Bible says. So we always want to give people a chance to do that. Now, if there's anybody here, if that's you this morning, and you want that prayer of faith to guarantee, to make sure that you're on that path of righteousness going to the gates of heaven, oh my, this is your opportunity. Don't leave this place this morning without giving your life to the Lord. Now, so we'll give that opportunity for anybody who wants to do that. Come on, and let's pray with you this morning. Now, for the rest of us who have received this grace of God, here is the message to you this morning. Rejoice in the grace of God. And do not frustrate his grace. You know, praise God. But remember also that to whom much is given, much is required. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I didn't have this that I'm going to say now. I'm going to close with this. I didn't have this as part of my message, but the Lord just reminded me to say. You know. Remember one time, Moses, he said, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. How many of you know he said that? And if anyone will not hear that prophet, then he shall be cut off from among the people. Well, guess what happened? By that statement, Moses, comparing himself with the Christ, because he said, a prophet like unto me. By that statement, he himself raised the standard for his own self. See? And newsflash, the next thing you know, zero tolerance. See, for Moses. Because he said, you know, like unto me. See, and we know he's talking about the Christ. So all of a sudden now he puts himself, you know, in the category of the Christ. Well, that's all right. If you want to do that, then you must be perfect like the Christ. And you don't better strike that rock twice. Because you're not going in. You know. Now every one of you that says, I am the child of God, I'm the son of God, I am this and I'm that. You better be perfect like Christ. You say, well, how can we be? That's the Lord that is going to do it too. But you must just yield to him. You know, to whom much is given, much is expected. Now if we want to have the glory, and we're going to hear about it, so, you know, if the Lord wills next week, then we must yield our lives to him completely. Praise the name of Jesus. Now let us pray. All over this audience, let's lift up our hands and pray. Thank him first for his mercy and everything that he has done in bringing you to this point. And let us believe the Lord that he that started a good work in us will also bring it to perfection. You say, well, I cannot do it on my own. He never wanted you to do it on your own. He wanted you to receive the Spirit of God into your life. Now, no man that has not the Spirit of Christ is any part of him. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now that Holy Spirit is becoming so vital in these days that you must be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 8, 5 and 18. You must be filled with the Spirit. Actually, it's be being filled. Be continuously filled with the Spirit. And don't let your lamps go out. Trim your lamps in this time. And let's be ready. He has chosen us. Let's give him the praise and the glory. Father, we thank you this morning. You chose us in you before the world began. And we thank you, Lord, because you have made us to, you have chosen us to be bearers of the glory. Hallelujah. We will bear the glory and we will bear the image of the Christ. If we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That is guaranteed. The Lord, he said it. Thank you, Lord, because you are bringing us into that image. And we give you all the praise. We give you the glory. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. From glory to glory, he's changing me. I love that. Let's do it this time, one more time. The choir, praise team, come and help me with that. If we have the slide, let's put it up.